Welcome to the Equipers Church Budapest podcast. We hope today's message will encourage and inspire you. For more information, check equiperschurch.hu.
It's wonderful to be here. It really is. I've enjoyed the last session. What wonderful worship. Amen. And God is moving in this place. It's a privilege to be here. It's a privilege. I served under Mira Marta for 10 years, my wife Liz and my family. We served for 10 years from 2006 to 2016 in Slovakia. And it was a real privilege to work under people that think things that are impossible are possible. And that's the theme of this series. Think possible. Amen. And I believe God is going to speak to some of you over the series about ways and about things that you've thought are impossible that God wants you to see are actually possible. This church is here because Mira and Marta, people from another country that shouldn't have any right planting a church in the middle of Budapest. They shouldn't be thinking that way. They hadn't got the finances. They didn't speak the language. They shouldn't have been thinking about planting a church here. But they thought that what was impossible with God is possible. And that's why the church is here. It's a real privilege. I was here a year ago, but I never came on a Sunday. And I saw just one of your midweek team meetings. And so I had such a desire to be here. And so it's such a privilege for us as a family to be here. I mentioned to the last group that I remember Toby as a little rebel. When he was a teenager, you wouldn't think that this man of God now was a rebel as a teenager. And it's wonderful to see what God can do with rebels. So if there's any rebels in here, there's still hope. Well, it's my third time preaching today. I preached this morning in Nitra. Then we came here, preached for the last session. And so I think I deserve a snack, babe. Can you just bring my, this is my, I don't call everybody babe, this is my wife. Woohoo! Now, I always like a good protein snack when I'm preaching. So I just nipped into the shops and I got this. It's supposed to be good for you. Apparently, this is. It's got a picture of a dog on the front, but at the end of the day, dogs can run faster than us. Dogs can jump higher than us. They can go for longer than us. So I reckon what they eat must be good for us. So I thought, I'll get this. It's cheaper than the rest anyway. So I just thought I'd have this snack. So you have to just excuse me for a second. If you haven't eaten yet, then you might be jealous of me. But I'm just going to put this microphone down while I just have my little snack. Just talk amongst yourselves. I love the smell of protein. So, you know, anybody go to the gym? You know, you love protein, don't you? This is packed. This is absolutely packed with protein. Anybody want to try any? It's absolutely lovely. It's one of my favourite snacks. You know what, though? This doesn't taste like dog food. In fact, it's not dog food. Does anybody want to have a quick look in there? It's actually baked beans. You know what I think's happened? Is somebody's put the wrong label on the tin. Somebody's put the wrong label. And that's why none of you wanted to taste. You might not like baked beans anyway, but I actually love. I'm English, it's what we have for breakfast a lot of the time. I love baked beans, and I love them cold out of a tin. But you thought it was dog food. You thought it was dog food. So who on earth would eat dog food? I mean, anybody here has ever eaten dog food? Yeah. Actually, I have to confess, I have as well. It was chocolate dog food, and I thought, that's too good for the dog. I've got to try that. Then I realised it's probably best for the dog. But anyway, normally, most normal people don't eat dog food. And so that label destined that not to be eaten. It destined it not to be eaten by us. You see, a label determines something's value. A label determines something's purpose. And a label determines something's future. Is that right? So normally, with that label, nobody in their right mind would eat it. But if you change the label to what is actually what it's been created for, then most of you still wouldn't eat it, but I would, because I like baked beans. You see, labels are important. But what's most important is we have the right labels. And I believe that what God wants to say to some of you today is you're wearing the wrong label. This series is all about thinking possible. And you'll never think something is possible if you're wearing the wrong label, because that label will tell you that something is impossible. You know, we all carry different labels. And I think today, more than ever before, people want to label you. People label you according to your desires. People label you according to your past, your failures. People label you because you've got this disorder or that disorder, and you get labels. Now, labeling things can help us. Oh, still eating those beans. Labeling can help us to understand things sometimes. But we've got an unhealthy obsession with labeling people. And I think it's stopping us from seeing what God wants to do in our lives. Sometimes it can be our past experiences. Our past experiences put labels on us. They can put negative labels on us. Maybe you've been abused in the past. And that to you now puts a label on your life that you're worthless. That you're worth nothing. That you've got no future. Maybe you came from a place of little money, where nobody had ambition, a place that nobody has heard of. I come from a place called Biddulph. Has anybody here heard of Biddulph? Somebody had in the last session, which absolutely amazed me. I thought so. Nobody's heard of Biddulph. We were brought up in Biddulph. When we left Biddulph for 10 years to be missionaries and came back to Biddulph, the same people were doing the same things in the town at the same time. It's one of those small-minded places where nobody does anything different. I went to the gym and found the same people on the same machines at the same time, 10 years later. Because it's the sort of place where nobody does anything different. And you can be labeled by your past experiences. You can have your future mapped out as a nobody because of the label that you wear. Your past failures can label you. Maybe you've tried something and failed. Has anybody ever failed when they've tried something? You've gone out with great enthusiasm and then you've crashed. And all of a sudden, you've put a label on yourself that I can't do this. I'm a failure. Maybe you've tried in ministry to do something and you failed. Maybe you've failed at exams. Maybe your failure is to do with sin. Maybe you've walked wild for a while, but then all of a sudden you've ended up doing something you never thought you'd do. And all of a sudden, you're labeled as a failure. You're labeled as somebody that is a write-off, can't be used by God. Maybe you've been labeled by words that have been spoken over you by others. Sometimes people close to us can, with good intention, give us bad labels. Labels that don't belong. And sometimes it's done out of their own hurts, their own insecurities, jealousies. Sometimes it's done out of good intentions. But they're labels that limit us. That stop us doing the things that we're called to do. My father told me that I'd never... He always struggled with anxiety. He'd always struggle. My father was extremely talented, and his bosses kept wanting him to go for promotion. And he would never go for promotion because he couldn't stand the pressure. And he told me, he thought I was the same, and he told me, you'll never do anything in leadership, you'll never do anything in up front, because he thought I was going to follow that same pattern. And I had that spoken over my life. And maybe the same is true for you. You've had things spoken over you that just aren't true. But the worst person who is guilty of labeling you, without any doubt, is you. Is you. Nobody gives you a label quite like you do. We self-talk. Who talks to themselves? We try not to do it publicly, don't we? And if we do it publicly, we call it praying. But we talk to ourselves. Maybe not consciously, but subconsciously, we talk to ourselves all the time. We think of things we've done in the past, and maybe we say to ourselves, "Oh, you idiot. Why did you do that?" But we self-talk all the time. And sometimes the self-talk comes out of pride. Other times it comes out of low self-esteem. Often it flits between one and the other. But it doesn't matter sometimes what the creator's put in us. It doesn't matter what's inside the tin if we're wearing the wrong label. We'll never do what he's called us to do while we wear the wrong label. We'll never fulfill the purpose. We'll never think it's possible if we're wearing a label that tells us we're destined for nothing. I believe that God is telling some of you today, in fact, I believe he's telling all of you, to look at the labels that you're wearing. And some of them need to be broken off your life. Because they're not what God has called you to be. They're not who God has called you to be. And I want to talk about somebody today who wore a label. In fact, not only did he wear the label, that label was his name. And it's somebody in the Bible who's very easy to miss. In fact, it's in part of the Bible where it's full of the genealogies. Do you know what the genealogies are? The lists of names of who gave birth to who, who gave birth to who gave birth to who had this brother and that sister. And it's normally the bit that you read really quickly in the Bible, just so you can tell God you've read it. And it's the bit that we often miss some really important detail. And right in the middle of one of those lists, in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, comes a little man that it talks about for only a couple of verses. But this was a man who was given a label that he was determined to break out of. And this man's name was Jabez. And it's 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 and 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain." And God granted him his request. Now, Jabez, he clearly gave his mother some problems at birth. His mother said it was a painful birth. Now, my wife tells me that all births are painful. But this must have been a particularly painful birth, because the word Jabez is very close to the Hebrew word for sorrow or pain or grief. And so she called her child pain or sorrow. Can you imagine being called sorrow? That's the label that he had placed on his life from birth. Now, maybe Jabez not only was born as a baby that caused pain, but I imagine he probably caused her some pain when he was growing up as well, as a small child. I remember as a child, I was pretty terrible, actually. As a toddler, I was terrible. I learned to walk, I'm told, I don't remember it, when I was 7 months old. And I used to get everywhere and cause so much trouble. In fact, I could climb out of the cot when I was 8 months old. And I used to go missing at that age. And my parents told me that if I'd been the first child, I would also have been the last child. I have got a brother who's older than me. I am the last child. After me, they decided enough is enough. We're not having any more children. If they'd known that, they probably would have called me Jabez as well. But he clearly had a name that represented, it was a label that was put over his life. Names are so important in the Bible. We sometimes call children names today just after a relative. But in the Bible, names really meant something. And not all of them were good. Some other people had bad labels put over them as well. Jacob. Jacob today is a name that we often think of as quite a positive name because of who Jacob in the Bible became. But actually, his name originally meant supplanter or deceiver or liar. That's what his name meant. And that's who he grew up to be. See, he lived out his name. As a teenager, as a young adult, he deceived his father. He deceived his brother. He stole his brother's inheritance. He became who he was labeled as. Until one day, God changed his label. And Jacob became Israel. God broke that label that was on his life. And Jabez, can you imagine calling each other pain? Can you imagine that being your name? Pain in the neck. Or worse, that's your name. Every time somebody calls your name, you're reminded of the fact that everybody thinks you're a pain. That's what Jabez had to live with. But he knew something was wrong. If he'd accepted that name, then he would have carried on being the pain. In pain and causing pain. Because that was the label that had been given him by somebody who should have known better. His own mother. But Jabez was somebody who wasn't willing to live with that label. He was somebody who prayed, who called on God, and he prayed an audacious prayer. And his prayer is this: Oh, that you might bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain or be in pain. So God granted him what he requested. Now, after that prayer, we can learn some things about Jabez. The first thing we learn is that Jabez knew where to go. He knew where to go. The first thing it says about Jabez is that he cried out to God. See, when we've got the wrong label on our lives, sometimes we can go, and we know, we can see the future. We can see what's destined in the future, and we can see where our life is going, and it's completely the opposite. We're wearing the wrong label. If we carry on doing the things that we're doing, if we carry on going in the way that we're going down a path that God hasn't called us to go down. But we don't know how to break that cycle. Maybe you can go on Instagram and find some lovely memes that are encouraging, that, you know, those self-help memes that you find on Instagram and Facebook and whatever the latest social media is today. Or you can get a book that tells you 7 steps to be a better person, 7 steps to be successful, 7 steps to be better looking, or I don't know what. You can try and find help here, there, and there's sometimes some truth in these things. But they only change behaviors. They don't change the heart. If you really want to break out of the label that's been put on your life, then there's only one place you need to go to. And it's to the person who knew what you were created for in the first place. It's to God. He knows what he's put in you. He knows what you're worth. He knows what you're destined for. He knows what your future holds. And that's where we need to go. When the enemy is telling you, when you're telling yourself, when people are speaking over you, when situation is telling you that it's impossible, God is telling you it's possible. Just turn to your neighbor and say, it's possible. Now turn to your second favorite neighbor and say, it's possible. Some of you need to hear from God what you were really created for. Not what labels can put over your life. So Jabez knew where to go. And secondly, he knew that there was more. He knew there was more available from God. Just turn to your neighbor and say, there's more. I bet you started with a different neighbor than last time, didn't you? Just to prove that you didn't have favorites. He knew that there was more. Jabez prays for God to bless him and enlarge his territory. Now, he wasn't being selfish. Sometimes it can sound like a selfish prayer. But you see, when the Israelites had taken the land that God had promised them, they didn't take it all. If you read through Joshua, if you read through the Judges, what you'll find out is they took the land piece by piece. They were allocated land from God, but actually they didn't take it all. There was still a lot of land out there that was appointed, but wasn't claimed. And a lot of Israelites at that time had land that belonged to them, but they didn't possess. And so when Jabez is praying, Lord, enlarge my territory, he isn't praying, give me my neighbor's land. He's saying, give me the land that has been promised. Give me what I am entitled to. Give me what you have destined for me. That I may possess what I'm appointed and anointed to possess. You see, a person who is labeled a pain, a nobody, a man of sorrow, wouldn't normally have the audacity to pray for more. To pray for God to enlarge his territory, to bless him. But he knew that the label he'd been given wasn't his future, wasn't what he'd been created for. He knew that there was more available than just being a pain in the neck to everyone around him. Whatever your situation is, whatever you currently experience of God, whatever you currently know of God, whatever you currently know of his ministry and calling and anointing on your life, I want to tell you this. There's more. There is more. You are destined for more than where your life is currently heading. And you've got to be willing to dig into God, to seek him, and to have the audacity to pray for that, that what God has already ordained you to have. There's more available than you currently experience, than you currently have in your hands. Jabez knew that there was more. And Jabez knew that that label that was put on his life by somebody else, he knew it was wrong. And I want to tell you very clearly that some of the labels that you are carrying right now, they are wrong labels. They are labels that are designed to restrict you. They are designed to limit you. They are designed to stop you living out the purpose that God has got for your life, the calling that he has got for your life. They are designed to limit you. And the last part of Jabez's prayer is the most poignant. He prays, keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. Now, one of the major English translations, the New King James Version, translates it differently to all the others. Most translate it similar to that. Protect me from harm so that I'll be free from pain. The New King James says, protect me from harm or evil that I may not cause pain. So most of the others say, so that I'll be free from pain. The New King James says so that I will not cause pain. So when I was researching this, I looked it up. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I have got access to Google. And I looked up the original. I looked and I researched the words that were used, the phrases that were used. And actually, it can legitimately be translated both ways. It can legitimately be translated free from pain and that I may not cause pain. And actually, I think that both of those were probably part of what Jabez was really praying. You see, hurt people hurt people. People that carry hurt end up hurting others. So when Jabez prays, Lord, let me be free from pain, he's also praying, Lord, let me be free from causing others pain. Most of the hurt that you've caused others is because you've been in pain. Most of the hurt that others have caused you has been because of the pain that they're experiencing. Hurt people hurt people. And so when Jabez was praying, let me be free from pain, he was changing the label that was on his life, or rather, he was ripping off the wrong label that had been put over his life. And I want to say you do not have to be contained and restrained by the label that others have put on you, that maybe you've put on yourself, that your experiences have put on you, that your situation in which you've grown up has put on you. You do not have to be constrained by that. Because so many are wearing the wrong label. And God wants to break you free. This is not the prayer of somebody being selfish. You know, it isn't a magical prayer. If you just pray this often enough, or you just pray, there's actually books that have been written that just recommend that you just pray this prayer daily in order that God will bless your life. It isn't meant to be just something like that, like an ATM where you put the right numbers in and what you want comes out. It isn't meant to be like that. This is a prayer of somebody that knows the wrong label has been put on his life, that his life isn't meant to be destined to go the way that his label is saying, but he is destined for what God has put in his life. And he knows that label is wrong, and he's calling on the God that created him to change that label. And he sees that happen. He sees it happen. He's been given a label that meant his future lacked hope. And he looked to God, and God changed all of that. With one tenacious prayer. I don't know whether he prayed it once and it happened, or whether he prayed it every single night. I don't know. But it says this, and God granted him his request. He ripped off that label of pain and sorrow and grief. And he became a man that was blessed, a man that was favored, a man that was successful. All because he had the audacity not to wear the label that was given him, but the one that he was created for. I believe that God wants to break some of you out of your chains today. I just want to finish with a testimony of something that God did in my life. You often don't know you're wearing labels. And I was wearing a label not even too long ago that was affecting how I lived, that was affecting how I acted, that was affecting how I treated others. And it all began many, many years earlier. You see, about 14, 15 years ago, I had a nervous breakdown. I crashed completely. It affected my life. It almost killed me. It almost broke my marriage, my ability to be a father, my ministry. It affected everything. God healed me miraculously. It's an amazing testimony of God's healing. But I carried a label from that moment that I didn't realize I was carrying. I carried a label that at some point I was going to crash again in the future. I carried a belief that I wasn't going to last. That at some time in the future, I was going to come crashing down. Maybe it would be a big failure. Maybe I would die early. Maybe, but I just carried a belief inside of me that I wasn't aware of, that I wasn't going to last. And so that was affecting how I lived my life. It affected how I was pastoring others and I was leading others. I would see potential in somebody and I would try and encourage them to the point of actually forcing them to start to live out the potential. Why? Because I didn't think I'd got long. I genuinely didn't think I was going to last. And so I felt I had to do all my ministry. Everything that I did was rushed. I was trying to push through. I was trying to break through to see success quickly because I didn't think I would last long enough to see it if it didn't happen quickly. And I would put pressure on people because I thought I needed to see things happen quickly. And then about 4 years ago, I was down in London and I was at a big meeting. There was about 400 or 500 people there. And it was at an Equippers church in London. And I'm not actually a pastor of an Equippers church. I was just there because I'm connected to Equippers. And the pastor, I think it was Bruce Monk, was there. He called myself and Liz down to the front of the church. There was this guest speaker, a guy called Michael Maiden, who was speaking. And Bruce called us down, and I don't know why he did it. There was plenty of other people he could have called. There was a room full of people. But he called us down, and he said to Michael Maiden, "Can you please prophesy over this couple?" And Michael carries a great prophetic ministry, and he started to prophesy over us. And it was like he'd opened a book of our lives. And he started to prophesy into our lives. Some of it was amazing. But there was one thing that he said, just one thing that he said that really just opened something inside of me. And nobody else in that room would have noticed. He said all these things that people would have said, wow, wow, great. But one thing he said broke me. He said, Mark, you are going to go long. And I realized at that moment what I'd been believing. That night I cried and I cried. Because I realized I'd been carrying this label that said you're going to crash. I'd been carrying it and I'd been allowing it to affect how I live my life. And those words broke. It ripped off that label from my life. And it immediately changed how I ministered. I immediately took the pressure off others. I've now got a phrase that I use often. My job is just to open doors for people so that they can walk through them and they walk through them at their own time. Because I don't feel I'm in any rush. I'm going to go long. I'm going to go long. I can take my time. I can do it in His time. I don't have to force anything. I don't have to see success quickly. And what's success anyway? It's obedience to Him. But those words broke a label that I was carrying. A label that didn't belong on my life. But it was affecting my worth, was affecting who I am, was affecting what God could do in me and through me. Because it doesn't matter what God had put in me, I was living according to the label. God wants to break some labels today. Can we just stand? I just want to have a few moments in God's presence while He just works on people's lives. Just allow God to speak to you.